chapter than most that we have been through in this book so far. 40 verses. We'll see. It's in my Bible anyway. It's broken down into three segments. The first being the remnant and the true king, and which is verses 1 through 8, and verses 9 through 32 is the topics for false prophets, and then 33 on to the end of the chapter is the burden of the Lord. So we'll see how far we get. There's a lot in this chapter, and a lot that pertains to us today in what's going on around us, and maybe even in our own lives. We stop and examine ourselves. So let's start with verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. From our study in Revelation, when the Lord says woe, that's not a good thing. Something bad's fixing to happen. And same way in the book of Jeremiah. If you've noticed, a lot of what we've studied in there in Revelation and a lot of what we studied in Jeremiah kind of go together. Of course, they don't happen at the same time. I'm not getting that. Well, I say that. We're going to see some things tonight that are going to happen at the same time as some of the things that we've been looking at in Revelation. But Jeremiah lived several hundred years. I don't know the exact number before John, the Apostle John, did. And there are things that we see going on in Jeremiah's day that go on during the time just before the tribulation, and then go on again, go on even more within the time of the tribulation. So you'll see some things here in this chapter that you'll recognize. So he says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Who's he talking about here? Well, pastor, priest, sometimes prophets referred to as a pastor or a priest. Not always the same. Doesn't always mean the same, but in some cases it does. And in this case, I do believe he's referring to the priests in their day. You don't commonly think, or don't normally think of, in the Old Testament, you don't see the name pastor mentioned very few times. This is one of the few times it is mentioned, because mostly the Lord deals with the word priest in their day, or prophet. Sometimes the priest was a prophet. Sometimes he wasn't one of God's prophets. Sometimes the prophets weren't priests. The word can mean the same, and then again, it can mean something totally different. But like I said, in this text here, the word pastor fits the description of a priest. He's the leader of the sheep, the Lord's sheep, or supposed to be anyway. In Jeremiah's day, they weren't doing a very good job of it. And this could vary. What we're going to read here in the next few verses in particular is going to look very similar to what we see today. You got men who are pastors who have, for whatever reason, decided to destroy and scatter the sheep. I think there's been times, and I can't think of anybody right offhand, but I know it's happened even in our own circles, on fellowships at times. There's been men that have come along that have tried to stir up trouble among the churches. Some that have, even in the church that they pastor, has stirred up trouble and cause people to leave, and unnecessarily, I should say. Sometimes it's false doctrine. Sometimes it's legalism, because a pastor sometimes can be too legalistic in things. But in Jeremiah's day, the problem was false doctrine. false worship. The priests, remember, were basically when the people decided to follow after false gods, the priests approved it in their day. And even went along with it. They even allowed the people to bring their false gods into the temple and worship and offer sacrifices on the altars of God, of the true God. And even today, places that are of worship that are supposed to be, or that are set aside for places of worship for the true God are often not. They're set aside to, or they've been taken over. You know, we know from our Baptist history in particular, there are those who have come in and stolen the Lord's churches right out from under the people. Right, the Lord knew what was going on. It wasn't a surprise to him, but they've, you can look at the many different flavors of Baptists out there. They don't all agree on doctrine. There are some who preach anything but what the Baptists have always taught and don't stick to the scripture at all on many things, and yet they call themselves Baptists. Now, verse 2, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Remember, the Lord is still calling them his people. They're still his people. Even though they've strayed, they're still his people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away. Driven them away from what? Driven them away from the temple, for one, and away from the Lord. And have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. These verses here ought to scare any pastor, any man that claims to be a pastor. If he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing, this ought to scare him to death right here. Because we see the Lord is about to chastise these men for what they've done, and in a harsh way. And he does the same thing today. Oftentimes we don't see it. It's on his behind the scenes. Sometimes the Lord will remove a man. I've known men who, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that it was because of something they did wrong, but you see men who, at a fairly young age, even, you know, and I don't mean 20s or 30s, I mean in their 40s or 50s, the Lord removes them from the pastor of a church, and they never pastor again. Now, I firmly believe the Lord calls a man, and when he does, he calls him for life. It's a life calling. But the Lord also could prevent a man if he's preached false doctrine. The Lord could also prevent him from pastoring in harming any other church too. Sometimes the Lord chooses to take his life. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he's stuck here to think upon the things that he's done and to make his life miserable. That's part of his chastisement. And I will gather the remnant. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now remember, he's talking about Israel here. This is not the church. Now we use some of this to compare to the churches because of some of the wrongdoing that's going on. But what he's talking about here in verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them. Who drove them out? The Lord did. They weren't driven out on their own. They weren't. There was an enemy that came and captured a bunch of them and took them off into captivity and slavery and all that, but it was the Lord that permitted it to happen. And it was the Lord that sent that enemy to do those things. He said, and we'll bring them again to their folds. He's going to bring them back one day. And we're going to see here in a moment what he's talking about. He says, they shall be fruitful and increase. He's going to bring them back. back to the land. They're going to possess the land again. That's what the Lord tells them. He's made that promise to them. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Has this happened yet with Israel? No, it hasn't. Israel still lives in fear. The people of Israel, the true people of Israel, still live in fear. We in the last century, we saw the Holocaust, not just in Nazi Germany. The Soviet Union killed way more Jews than Nazi Germany did. There's been other places around the world that where they've been persecuted and martyred in their own land. Even after they took the land back, the nation that's there now, when they took the land back and all, you know, everybody thought, well, I can remember this when I was a kid. People thought, well, Israel's come back to the land to possess it, and they've possessed it, and now everything's going to get better. You know, because it wasn't time yet. It's not time. It's not God's time for them to possess the land yet. There's a nation over there now, and that's why I say be careful. I'm not saying we don't need to support them. I believe we do. But the nation that's over there now is not the nation that's going to be there eventually. It's going to be there. Now, some of those, we don't know. If the Lord was to come back tomorrow or soon, I would guess that there is a remnant over there right now that the Lord has prepared. Are they saved? I don't believe so yet. They won't be saved until the tribulation. But if it is the Lord's plan for him to come back soon, that remnant very well could be over there right now. And you notice he says here, he's going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. There's Jews from all over the world that travel, that move to Israel. They're still doing it. Well, up until the last few months when they put a hold on travel, but up until then, there's Jews all over the world that are moving back to the land of Israel, even today. Is that the Lord gathering his remnant? Possibly. We don't know. We don't know what for sure when he's going to do that. We do know in the tribulation there's going to be even more of it. They're going to be flocking to over there to at a point there where in the first part of the tribulation, I believe it's going to be in the first 3.5 years. There's going to be a mass exodus over to the Middle East, to Israel, by Jews all over the world. But has it started now? Possibly. I don't know. I will set up shepherds over them, which will feed them, and they shall fear no more. Israel is not going to, and remember, during the tribulation, and we'll get into this more into Revelation soon, I think, if I remember correctly, in our study in Revelation. Once the Gentile army comes and captures Jerusalem again, the Jews are going to flee. They're going to be living in fear again. Like I said, they still are, but it's going to be even worse then. They're going to fear for their lives then. The Gentiles that up until now have protected them, have left them alone for the most part, other than providing them with support, are all of a sudden going to turn on them. And they're going to have to flee Jerusalem in the land of Judea. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about in verse 4 comes after the Battle of Armageddon. Possibly during the thousand-year reign, the millennium, because that's the only time we're going to know peace. Or at least the first time we're going to know peace until that time's over with. There's going to be a time of peace in the world in that day. Verse Verse 5, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now we know he's talking about Christ here. He's already raised him up. He came, was born on the earth, did his work here while he was here, ascended back to heaven to be with his Father, and will be coming again when he comes again, remember. And this is another thing we'll get into later in Revelation. When he comes to take his bride, he doesn't set foot on the earth at that time, at that point. Read the scripture. It's clear. He doesn't set foot on the earth when he comes back for his bride. He calls her from the air, and she meets him in the air. That's clear. It's when he comes back for the Battle of Armageddon that he actually sets foot on the earth and fights the armies of the world. He says, I will raise unto David a righteous branch. So he's already raised him up. He's already been made known, in other words. We know Christ is of David's branch. He's of the lineage of David, his earthly presence anyway. A king, and notice the word branch, the word and the word king are both capitalized. They're talking about the same person. They're talking about the Messiah. They're talking about Jesus Christ. Shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. He's the only one that can do that. No one else has the authority to execute judgment and justice in the earth. No one else is going to reign and prosper in the earth. Now, we know Satan's principalities and his leaders and his kings and princes think they're going to reign and prosper, but the only reason they're going to reign and prosper is because the Lord permits them to do it. He gives them permission to. Verse 6, In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Another name for our Lord, the Lord our righteousness. Notice he says in his days Judah shall be saved. That hasn't happened yet. Israel shall dwell safely. These things have not come to pass yet. These safety and saved, and this, you know, we know there's going to be a whole nation saved in a day. But even that, I don't believe, is what he's talking about here. He's talking about after that. They're not going to have complete safety until the millennium. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, this has happened partially. We know, if you study Jewish history, history of Israel, you see where at one time there was a popular saying. The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They were still saying that in Jeremiah's day. But there's going to come a time, he's saying in the next verse, there's going to come a day when they're going to forget about that. They're going to talk more about the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of Israel out of the north country. And not just the north country, but all countries whither I had driven them. And they shall dwell in their own land. He brought even when the captivity was over with and they migrated back, we know that not all of them went back. This was a popular saying when they were able to go back. You know, this the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, was a saying they made popular in that day. And it was something they were, for the most part, at the time that it happened, were very thankful to the Lord for. But they have not fully dwelled in their own land since. They were released out of captivity in the north country. However, there were some that still stayed. There were some who were in other countries, other nations. You look at the New Testament and you see all the nations. Look at in the book of Acts in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and you see where all those that crowd had gathered. You see all the different nations that they came from all over the Middle East area they came from, and some from Italy, some from Greece. They traveled there for the day of Pentecost, for the Passover and the Pentecost, and yet they had not gone back to possess the land. So them possessing the land has not happened yet. It hasn't happened today. We know that, like I mentioned earlier, there's still those of Jewish descent that are still not living over there. They've not fully, and you look at their what they've got over there. They still don't possess the land. There's another group of people over there who claim to be a nation, who are not truly a nation, by the way. You can study that too, because the Palestinians never had a nation. They've been nomads down through history. They have a false claim on their part of the land, and but one day all that'll be straightened out, and Israel will possess the whole land. Verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Now this is Jeremiah speaking. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Remember, Jeremiah was greatly distressed because of the situation in Judah. He wrote a whole book about it. Read the book of Lamentations. He was very distraught over it. You see it in Jeremiah. It's just one of the places you see it. For the land is full of adulterers. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. The prophet and the priest are profane. They were speaking false doctrine. Remember, false doctrine is compared to, it's no different than cursing, the way the Lord looks at it. It's foul language. It's an abomination. It's blasphemy. Yet the prophets and the priests, the ones who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the nation, had led the people astray. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fallen therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. These prophets and priests, they're on a slippery slope. They're fixing to pay for what they've done. This is just a continuation. Remember, he referred to them as pastors back in the first couple of verses. and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. What happened in Samaria? Remember, Samaria was a false capital. It was not the true capital of Israel. Never was. It was the capital of the northern kingdom, but not Israel as a whole. And remember, I forget the king now, but it drove out all the priests, the good priests, the ones that left. They got tired of him not following the Lord, and they all left.
Jeroboam?
He was the first one. Yeah, was the first one, Jeroboam. So the priest, the good priest, had left and went back to Judah, back to Jerusalem. But the prophets and the priests that stayed, remember, it says here they prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. So there was false worship going on in the northern kingdom long before it reached the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, if you remember from our studies on the kings in Sunday school, didn't have any good kings at all. They had some that appeared to be good to a point, but not really. They never followed the Lord like they were supposed to. And if you remember, none of them, if I remember right, none of them were in the lineage of David. So they weren't true to the Lord in that either. So they prophesied in Baal. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof of Gomorrah. And that's a pretty rough accusation there. He compared them to Sodom and Gomorrah. Not just in our way of thinking, but even in the Bible way of thinking, Sodom and Gomorrah is the worst ever, the most evil ever. If you can think of the most evil place ever, those were the places that were the most wicked list talked about in the scripture. But he compares the prophets of Jerusalem to that. Why? Because they've committed adultery and walk in lies. They've lied about the Lord. Remember, the prophets were prophesying against Jeremiah and against the Lord. They were telling how everything was going to be fine. There was no army coming to attack them. And if there was, they were going to whip them. You know, it was no big deal. The Lord was with them. And yet they let the people carry on with their false worship. Instead of correcting them and trying to get them to repent of their false worship, they approved it. They let them continue on with it. And even participated in it themselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. Wormwood, if you remember from, I think we studied that a little bit in Revelation not too long ago, it was bitter. And it's bitter and it's poisonous to humans. Wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. Remember the water of gall. Remember they gave our Lord gall on the cross, or a form of it. It was, some say it was a mixture of water and vinegar, or water and some other kind of, something like vinegar. And it was not something you would want to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. So they not only were preaching false doctrine in Jerusalem, it was throughout all Judea. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They're false prophets. They're not preaching the truth. And, you know, it's always amazed me, even today, how people will follow. I pick on the TV preachers the most because they're easy. You know, that's, but you watch some of those guys and you wonder, and you see the crowds that are before them. You're like, what are these people thinking? I mean, obviously he's a fake. You can see it. I mean, or at least the common person can see it. I know people who are lost that see it. You know, they'll look at that and they're like, well, that guy's an idiot. Well, yeah. Why can't the people that are sitting there in the crowd with him do it, see that? Well, he's got them hypnotized, or he's got them, they're mesmerized by what he's got to say. And he's preaching a health and wealth gospel to them. That's what man wants to hear. And I'd say more than likely the majority of the ones sitting there are not saved themselves and don't know any better. But they're false prophets. They're preaching a false prophecy. Be careful. And that's one of the reasons I've warned you in the book of Revelation on our study on Sunday nights. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you watch. Because some of these guys that are popular commentators on the book of Revelation, they're spreading a false gospel. And I'll tell you, we're talking about TV preachers, I'll tell you the worst one that I know of is John Hagee. I would not watch what he's got to say on the end times because he's false. He's very popular though. And people look to him for his end time prophecies that he comes up with. And he'll put enough truth in there to make it sound good. But in the end, it's false doctrine. I think in recent years, his most popular sermon, and he even did a video study on it, was the four blood moons. And I preached a sermon on it a few years ago, and it's just amazing at the false doctrine that he presents in that. And I watched the video. I sit down and watched the video before I preached a sermon on it. The scripture is clear on what he says, and what he says is wrong. He can't even stick to the scripture in his own study. So be careful of those guys. Or women, whichever one you're watching. I wouldn't, you know, if you're watching a woman preacher, you need to be really careful because they're not even supposed to be there to start with. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets, they that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. It's out of their own heart. Their own heart's wicked, and that's where their prophecy comes from. That's where their preaching comes from. Their vision, they speak a vision, it says. Watch these guys and these folks that you always hear them about a vision. I've had a vision from the Lord. You ever heard that? If they've had a vision from the Lord, which Lord did it come from? Because it wasn't the one of the Bible, for one. And does their vision match Scripture? Compare Scripture with Scripture. If they've come up with a vision, if they say they've had a vision from the Lord, and they tell what it is, does it match Scripture? I haven't seen one yet that does. They may try, they may throw some Scripture in there, make it sound good, but a lot of times it's the same vision somebody else has already had. You know, you can go back a few years and there was another guy preaching the same thing. Be careful and pay attention. When somebody says they've got a vision from the Lord, because their vision is going to be from their own heart and not from the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Isn't that what we hear today? The Lord, he says, they say still unto them that despise me. Talking about the Lord. The Lord hath said, ye shall have no peace. Or ye shall have peace. They were preaching a health and wealth gospel. Everything's going to be peaceful. Everything's going to be nice and rosy and no problems. This army that Jeremiah is talking about coming from the north, that's false. It's not coming. You know, or if they are, they're a friendly country. They're just coming for a visit. And it says, and they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart. Those who are walking after the imagination of their own heart. Isn't that how man is today, too? People walk after the imaginations of their own heart. No evil shall come upon you. Nothing bad is going to happen. We hear that Jesus is love. He doesn't hate anybody. Everybody's God's children. All's love and peace. And then a natural catastrophe happens. Well, why'd God let this happen? You ever heard that? Why'd God let this happen? Well, maybe it was because of your false doctrine. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The Lord's coming. And he's bringing chastisement with him, and he's going to judge them, and it's not going to be pretty. Their peace and prosperity and health is fixing to disappear. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. Notice whose heart it is now. It's the Lord's heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. In the latter days. When is that? Was that in Jeremiah's day? Was that at the end of the captivity? I'm not 100% sure on this, but any time that I can think of when the scripture talks about the latter days, he talks about in the future. In the latter days is in either our day or in the days of the tribulation. There, the Lord's anger with Israel is still ongoing right now. They've not made their peace with God yet, if you will. Maybe that's a bad term to use, but that's how to look at it. One way to look at it, they've not made their peace with God yet. They've not repented yet. They did for a time at the end of the captivity. At the 70 years of captivity in Babylon, but not completely. Remember how wicked they were when Jesus came? When he came as the Messiah and they turned on him? There was no repentance there. My guess is this latter days that he's talking about here, he's speaking of during the tribulation when they're going to repent, a whole nation of them, and they're going to be saved. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. You think God, these false prophets, even the ones we speak of today, you think they're really of God? I mean, with election and predestination, we know he predestined them to be here, and they're, in a way ordained by him to do what they're doing, but they're not of him. They're not getting their word from him. It's from their own hearts is what he says here. In a few verses back, he says, I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. They didn't come from him. And he says, I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. How do they prophesy if they haven't been spoken to from the Lord? Same way today, how does a man prophesy if the Bible is not where he's getting his prophecy from? How is he prophesying? Who's he prophesying of? It's false. If their prophecy can't be found in God's word, then they're a false prophet. And remember what Moses said? Moses said you're supposed to kill a false prophet. If they'd have done that in Jeremiah's day, the Lord's anger might have been quenched because of it, but they didn't do it. Verse 22, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Because the false prophets were so much more, they were more arrogant, they were more flashy, if you will, they were more in your face, they were more popular than Jeremiah was, they swayed the people. Jeremiah preached the word of God, and the people didn't listen. God says if they had listened, if the prophets had caused the people to hear the truth, if they had been preaching the truth, and the people had heard it, then things wouldn't turn out the way they were, or the way they would be. Verse 23, am I glad, or am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God, not a God afar off? God's always been close to his people. The only time he's afar off is when man puts him there. When man turns and runs from God. And even then, God's still there. He's God. He's everywhere. But as far as spiritual matters are concerned, he's not as close as he would be as if we were following the truth. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Remember, the earth is his footstool. He fills the earth with his presence. And we can't hide. We may think we can. You know, we can lay out a church and think that, well, nobody sees what I'm doing when I'm home or when I'm out doing whatever I'm doing. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows where you're at. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. He keeps going back to that. It's their own heart, of their own heart. Which thing to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, visions and dreams. We hear a lot about visions and dreams. Which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They forsook the Lord their God for Baal, for a false god. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff of the wheat, saith the Lord? So which one is the chaff, in other words? Well, it's the prophet that's dreamed a dream of his own heart is going to be the one that's the chaff. That's an easy one. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Notice that word he is capitalized. When someone tells a prophecy and they say, thus saith the Lord, and it's not what the Lord said, don't follow them. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So here's a question. If the Lord didn't send them, who did? Possibly Satan. The Lord doesn't say that here, but Satan had to have a hand in it. And remember Baal, remember we talked about this. At some point I want to do a study on Baal because I believe in the Old Testament. I think Baal is there's different names for him, of course, but I think it's a I think he's very much tied to Satan himself. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy a false dream, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. The people are not going to get any profit out of it. It's going to be the false doctrine is it's going to work in the opposite. In the opposite direction. It's not, they're not going to have peace and prosperity. Maybe for a short time, but once the army of the north comes, it's all over. Verse 33, and when his people, or when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. They're going to ask, what is the burden of the Lord? And the prophets and the priests are going to lie to them. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say his word, or say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. This sounds like a curse on people who are not God's elect, is it not? Because it's going to be not forgotten. It's going to be something that's not forgotten. It's going to be these false doctrine, this false preaching that these guys are doing. It's going to be so bad. The Lord's not going to forget it. He says it's a perpetual shame. It's an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. God's not going to forget it. He's not going to forgive them of it. It's that bad. So we'll stop there for tonight. We'll pick back up chapter 24 next time. Remember these things. There's a lot of things in chapter 23 that we see going on today. You know, we know that the Lord's coming. We believe he's coming soon. And we even hear other men preaching the same thing, that he's coming soon. But listen to what else they're preaching. Their false doctrine. You know, send me $10,000 and the Lord will bless you 3 times or 10 times, whatever their magic number is. If you want to fall for that, go ahead. You know, you're going to lose a bunch of money. That's all that's going to happen. These charlatans that are out there, they're salesmen. You know, they know how to word things to make people do what they want. And it always benefits them. I noticed the other day someone put shared a post on Facebook, I think is where I saw it. It was from Joel Osteen's page. And a woman had put a prayer request on there that about the virus. Somebody in her family, I don't remember if it was herself or somebody else in her family close, had contracted the disease, and she was asking for prayer. And whoever ran that page responded with, "Well, if you'll send us $24.95 a month, that'll guarantee you three prayers. We'll pray for you at least three different times." Or for, I don't remember what the number was, it's $50 and something, $54.95 or something. That'll get you 10 prayers a month. That's, people fall for that. And that's why these guys are filthy rich. And you can't find, the only place you can find that in the scripture is places like chapter 23. You know, people say, well, that's not even scriptural. Well, yeah, in a bad way, but it is there. That's the kind of things that they were doing in Jerusalem in Jeremiah's day. They were preaching a health and wealth gospel and robbing the people blind. The only people getting rich were the priests and the prophets. The common man was starving to death because they were giving all their wealth and their food and whatever they had to the priests and prophets. That wasn't what God intended for his people. The priests and the prophets took advantage of the people, just like the false prophets out there today are taking advantage of the people. And yes, I would say there's probably a lot of God's people that fall for it. A lot of God's elect fall for those very things. And, you know, that's, I would caution anybody, do not watch religious television at all. Because it's there. Even some of the movies, now I'll admit some of the movies are decent, but even some of the movies, it's there. You see it. So be careful. And go back and read chapter 23 again and see what he was talking about.